Good morning and welcome to the Project Joy Radio Show. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Happy Monday.
Happy Monday, indeed.
Which means we have three assignments to read.
Mm-hmm.
And here they are.
All right.
I'm always doing that which I cannot do in order that I may learn how to do it. After we've been practicing for a while, we begin to realize that I can't do anything unless you count as something making a human being miserable. The fact that I can't do something certainly does not mean life can't. When we realize that letting I go so that life can guide us places us with life, we begin to be eager for any circumstance that opens us to receiving life's wisdom. This is how we learn to love learning. Today, choose something, preferably small, that the voices say you can't do, and practice letting life guide you in learning how to do that thing. Record and listen. June 24th. The greatest prayer is patience. Egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is quick off the mark. It has to be, else we might be present enough to question its reactions to what is. When we're here, as life unfolds, attention focused on awareness, we increase our chances of seeing not only what is, but also how ego attempts to bamboozle us into reacting. Patience is one of those virtues we're conditioned to believe we really should have mastered if we're ever to be the right spiritual aspirant. I try to be patient. Something happens when I'm not present. Ego reacts with impatience, and I get a beating for not being patient. This is a perfect moment for practicing patience. I can practice being patient with a human being who's working hard to be patient and still gets bamboozled. As we practice patience in this way, we see that patience is synonymous with compassion. Today, practice patience by bringing compassionate acceptance to everything that befalls a good, sincere, spiritual aspirant who still gets bamboozled. Record and listen. June 25th. Be not angry that you cannot make others as you wish them to be, since you cannot make yourself as you wish to be. This is a projection exercise par excellence. Ego reacts with upset to the ways we've been conditioned to believe are wrong ways to be when they're witnessed in someone else. Are they in someone else? If they weren't my issues, would ego be going on about them? Would I even notice them? So what is the how that I'd like to make myself? As a student of awareness, I choose to be in unconditional love and acceptance for each moment of life unfolding. Can I make myself be that? Of course not. And only ego would pretend to want to. Projection gives us the tool we need to take the reins away from ego. Each time ego pretends to be upset about what someone is doing, we can use that upset as a signal to watch closely what ego is doing to us and to drop it. As soon as we drop it, we are the way ego says we should make ourselves be. Today, welcome ego upsets so you can use them to see ego in action and drop it. Record and listen.
Wow, what a weekend.
What a weekend. Well, here's our first caller, Sherry. Let's see how big their weekend was. First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Good morning, this is Judy. Hi, Sherry. Hi, Ashwini.
Good morning, Judy. How are you doing?
I'm fine. You know, the quotes are always helpful, but I tell you, Friday and Saturdays were custom made for me. In terms of content, I fell last week and fractured my arm, so my right arm, and I'm right-handed. So all the time things come up, and I can't do that. Well, let's see. And sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't, but I have to be creative in the process and keep going, which is where patience comes in. Because nothing's going as fast as I thought it should.
don't you feel, well, let's see, this is kind of tricky, but I know I can say this to you. Don't you feel blessed by the whole experience?
I do. You know, I'm so grateful for practice, and it's very easy for me to go to gratitude. You know, my leg's fine. I didn't break my hip. I did it here in the United States instead of some other country where things would have been even more complicated. Yeah. And I'm learning to slow down. I mean, I have to. I can't do anything very fast. I'm staying home all the time. I can't drive.
Yeah, and you really have to be present.
Yes.
Right? You're required to be, and that's just about the greatest gift we can get.
Right, right. I don't want to fall again, so I'm paying much more attention when I walk, all of that. There is one thing that plagues me, though, Sherry, that I don't quite understand, so I don't know if I'm being too literal, but I'd appreciate your guidance. You know, I was scheduled to come to the monastery this Friday as a visiting monk, and I can't understand why life wouldn't want me to do that. You know, I can't go now.
Well, I would not frame it that way.
Okay.
So, for me, everything that happens is our best opportunity to see how we are with it.
Okay. Okay.
And how you know, how we are with it, and how we are with ourselves with it.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of belief that life wants us to do certain things that would be good or good for us or that sort of thing, and doesn't want us to do other things. If we look at what we've done in our lives, we can quickly see that seems to be something we are bringing to the situation, not something that's coming from life, right? Because we have been encouraged, if you will. I mean, the things that have been in our path have been on both sides of that duality. Really good things and really not so good things. You know, really helpful things and not helpful things. And we always get to choose. We get to choose, period. We get to learn, which goes with the learning, to love learning, right? To see everything
right.
as an opportunity to wake up and end suffering. And so all that has come to you as a result of this circumstance would not have come to you had you not had this experience.
True, true.
So would you necessarily have benefited more from being a visiting monk than from this? We wouldn't really want to assume that. And, of course, you're not always going to have a broken arm, so you can still be a visiting monk.
Come back, right. And one other time I understood you to say that you only be as disappointed as you allow yourself to be. So
yes.
When I see the pull to go into disappointment, I'm using that as a trigger to remind myself to be present, that's just another con to get me out of here.
Yes, yes. And, you know, there's nothing to say that this is going to slow you down for any particular length of time. So there's nothing to say you wouldn't be able to be a visiting monk in 2 weeks. As soon as you get the hang of being left-handed.
Right, and get the sling off.
Right.
Yeah.
So all of those things that the voices would like us to think and believe, you know, again, they're just an opportunity to come back to, but what am I seeing in this? And so much of what we see and realize is what the voices do to us under particular circumstances. Because, you know, those voices pretending to be disappointed that you're not being a visiting monk, oh, please. Now, do you, authentic human being, long for that experience? Absolutely. Are the voices disappointed that you're not going to have it? Not a bit.
Yeah. Well, big gusho to all of you. Yeah.
Oh, and to you. I love that. Every time I hear somebody talk about being in really difficult circumstances and turning to practice and being okay, I just don't think there's anything better that we could ever hope for anybody.
It's truly a lifesaver, truly.
Oh, it is. And we know that any and everything could and possibly will happen to us before a particular lifetime is over.
Mm-hmm.
And so to be in that place of whatever it is, seeing it as a gift, as an opportunity to choose life, to choose presence, to to awaken.
Deepa Show. Thank you. Thank you.
And to you. Take care.
Thanks, Judy.
Bye-bye. Bye, Ashrini.
I'm going to be, hey, Judy,
yeah.
I'm going to practice being left-handed in solidarity with you.
Oh, thank you.
I think about that all the time because I am so right side everything. And I think, you know, why don't I brush my teeth with my left hand?
Yeah.
Why don't
yeah.
I pick up that glass with just to for the present, coming back to present requirement in something like that. So I'm gonna do my best to be with you.
Oh, thank you. It's really kind of fun.
We'll be left-handed together.
Good, good. I love it.
All
thank
right.
you.
All right, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Judy.
Hi.
You know, Sherry, when you were having that conversation, something dropped in this way, and I don't. It's very unformed, and so I'll just say it. Because in my experience, all of those unexpected situations, especially situations that are seem to be not seem to be a block to the following through the wish of my heart,
mm-hmm.
which I don't understand. You know, it seems
mm-hmm.
almost like life wants us to accept life unconditionally. That's
yes.
That whatever happens, whatever arises, can it also be unconditionally accepted, whatever it is? And so we get tested in what we don't want, but we also get offered the opportunity to watch how we can practice the unconditional in every circumstance.
Yes. Well, what you're saying that that is helpful is that each of these circumstances shows us when we are not aligned with life. So I'm walking down the street, and as far as I know, I'm in alignment with life. You know, I'm not lost in a conversation and conditioned mind. I'm right here. I'm with my senses. I know who I am and where I am and all of that. And then I fall, and I break my arm. Okay? In that moment, I get to see. This has nothing to do with Judy. I'm talking about me. Okay, so I get to see in that moment. Is there a separate self who believes that that should not happen to me, or is there just this is what is unfolding in life in this moment? Now that can seem extreme, right? That we could ever not have any kind of ego reaction to falling down and breaking our arm. But that is the possibility that is available to us. So we are so lost in the beloved, as Rumi would phrase it, that there isn't anybody who's having any experience other than whatever is happening lost in the beloved. Did I lose you? Oh,
yeah, no, I'm right here. I somehow got muted.
Okay.
I was just agreeing with you to that place of the Picasso quote. I'm always doing that which I cannot do in order that I may learn how to do it. That life is always offering me the opportunity to be so lost in the beloved and to look at the places where I'm not so I can learn to be.
Yes. Yes, precisely, which is what makes it a gift. Right? Yes. If we can keep our focus on that, then we don't dread experiences that put ego in that, no, not this place.
Yeah.
We don't avoid
yeah.
life. We welcome it. And in fact, when we're called to something that the voices jump up and start screaming, no, 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 we actually choose to go in those directions because that's putting us in, keep us out of the arms of the beloved.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. I'm hoping this works out. Here we go. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hey, Sherry Ashwini, it's Jennifer from Sault Ste. Marie. Can you hear me?
Yes. Good.
Yes, you still sound very much in a well, but we don't have an echo, so let's try it.
Oh, that's awesome. Thank you so much for taking my call. I had a great practice weekend, and I was really looking at, you know, seeing only in others what the ego wants us to see and how we're conditioned to see the errors in others but not in ourselves.
Uh-huh.
And the practice of, you know, how the ego wants us to stay blind and afraid to see really what is, because, you know, then the ego will cease to exist. And
yes.
When I practice this, I practice this with my mom. And when I practice this, I saw a completely different person in my mom.
Uh-huh.
And it was so fantastic, because it's almost like I kind of understood that looking through that different lens of like that which animates and just letting go allowed like that almost like how in the beginning we were talking about that having one foot in the transcendent. You know, being able to let go and just let that transcendent nature see for me instead of the
yes.
ego seeing for me.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You give me chills.
Yeah. And that gave me chills this weekend, too, because I was just like, wow. You know, but, you know, that was fantastic. But then there was always that ego that's kind of like, you know, you're climbing up a tree and like that ego is like pulling at your leg, like to try and get you back down again.
What a great image. Yeah. Get you down again or get you to fall, right?
Yeah.
Either way, just stop doing this.
Yeah.
Stop doing what you're doing.
Yeah. And I was like, as I kind of felt that ego kind of pulling on my leg, I'm like, because it kind of wants me to like give advice, you know, oh, you should be thinking this way, or why don't you think that way? Like, think like me. And I was wondering, like, you know, is being the example of, is that not, I think I have the wording wrong, it's not good enough, but is just being the example.
And I would phrase it this way, just practicing what you're practicing.
Yeah.
Right? Because being an example implies you're doing something, which slides us quickly over into conditioning. But what you're describing is just being present and allowing everything to be as is. And it's that focus for you that makes your mother so different.
Right.
Right? So it's you being in that place. Now, will she intuitively sense that you're in that place? Of course she will. Will she know what you're doing? Not necessarily. She knows that place as well as you do.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I mean?
That's
why when somebody is in the presence of someone who is holy, they feel it.
Right.
Okay. Because that's who we all are. So we encounter that presence and it resonates with our authenticity. So she will feel that and she will respond to it. So the beautiful part about what you're describing is both of you get to respond to that. So there you are, you're present and allowing everything to be as is, and you're in the unconditional. Let's phrase it that way, right? You're in the unconditional. And you see ego pulling on your leg. So you get to have the experience of being present and watching how ego tries to pull you out of presence, which is very instructive. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And you get to see how your mother responds to presence, which is also edifying.
Right. because really that's both of us, it's our authentic nature. So I think that energy is just kind of like resounding off of our authentic nature. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. So you're just mirroring back and forth, right? Yes. And then you see ego come in to try to stop it. And you can say, well, that's interesting. No, I think we'll go back to the mirror. Thank you very much. And then here it comes again. So you're watching yourself. You're watching attention go from here to there, here to there, here to there. You can begin to watch how your mother responds when you're here, reacts when you're there. So the whole thing is just this wonderful workshop. So my encouragement is keep doing that. Don't get caught up in understanding it or having results or clinging to it or any of those sorts of things. Just keep practicing in that way and let it unfold.
Yes, thank you for saying that, because I tend to want to analyze.
Oh, of course we all do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Analyze and cling, analyze and cling.
Yeah, for sure.
That's ego's contribution, end quote.
Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much for taking my call. I'm glad you're able to hear me.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, it's wonderful to talk with you. Thank
okay.
you.
Thank you so much.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Jennifer. I dropped off Sherry, so I can't reflect what was on that call. So,
well, that's okay.
I'm sure it was wonderful.
I'll tell you about it later as we're putting plants in at center. Yes, yeah. it was incredibly inspiring. You'll be happy.
Wow. Well, I'm going to bring on our next caller and hope to stay on with them. Next caller, you're live on the. Would you please introduce yourself? Next caller.
Hello?
Oh, this is Till from New York. Hi, Ashwini.
Hey,
hi, Sherry.
Hey, Till.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. Wow, yeah. Just so absorbed in the conversation before you had. I've totally forgot everything.
That's right.
I think.
Sherry, you sound very faint.
Yes.
Oh, do I? Wow.
That's better.
So technology is not our friend today, is it? I'm yelling now. Does that help?
Yeah, that helps a lot.
Yes. Okay, good.
Okay. So I could have said pretty much what the previous caller have said now to something else than with the other assignment to practice patience with the practitioner. That also resonated greatly because that was just something that is one of my awareness coaching commitments. Basically, because there was a lot of, I noticed before that there was a lot of self-hate going on around, or self-hate was talking a lot about where I should be in practice.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, yeah. And,
which is a clear sign that you're doing well.
Right. Yes, and actually for a lot of the time that has been my experience, yes.
Yes. Yeah, so it wouldn't be talking about it if you weren't doing well. Because it can't be complaining about what you're doing. It's just going to try to convince you that you should be doing better.
Ah, yes, yes. That's good. That's very good. Mm-hmm. Yes. And it also kind of backfired because what that brought me to is to make a fresh recording of reassurances and practice reminders and commit to listening to that every hour as often as I can fit it in. And that just brings me then to presence a good number of times a day. And yeah, well, now it's going to be hard to describe what my experience with that is, but it's really great.
Well, and just to underline for all of us, so that is the way to turn the tables on conditioning, right? So it says you should be doing better. And instead of doing what you're supposed to do, which is feel bad, your response to it is, oh, okay, well, then I'll do better. I'll up my practice commitments. I'll practice more. Now, you can just picture ego over there in the corner going, that is not what he's supposed to feel, right? So, yeah, so every time we get that kind of message from ego, if we just say, thank you, yes, I do need to practice more. I do want to do better. Yes, I'm going to add more practice to what. It's really the most effective way to get it to leave us alone a lot more.
Yes.
It's not that it won't come up with another way to attempt to bamboozle us, but at least it will get it that that one doesn't work.
Right, right. It always tries now to me to get to not to listen to this, or and then, as we know, that becomes the really I should really listen to it now, and
yes.
And in the same way it worked with the other assignments, with the seeing fault in others, it's like, oh, I see I'm complaining about something, so that's something to accept in myself and accept in the other person.
Yeah, and ego is just over there chewing on its own teeth, right? Because these are not supportive of ego practices, right? And that I it's such an important place in practice. We can see that it's able to do what it does to people because people feel and react the way it tells them to. So if you're not practicing well enough, you need to feel bad and guilty and just get lost in that story, right? If you're criticizing or judging someone else, you need to feel bad and awful and take beatings, right? But if everything that conditioning has done to us becomes an opportunity for us to come back to presence, turning that corner, it will change everything about practice. And that's that place that we keep talking about of instead of seeing everything in life as a reward or punishment, see everything as a gift. That everything we encounter is an opportunity for us to come back to center. That's what makes it a gift.
Wow, yeah, there's certainly a lot of gifts going on all the time.
Yes. Yeah. It's like I'm rich with gifts.
Oh, yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And we are, right? Because when we're practicing, we do see it that way. You know, I have just so much stuff to practice with. And if practicing makes us happy, well, there we are.
Yep. So, yeah, I feel a lot happier a lot of the times lately. So, yeah, let's practice working.
Yes, exactly so. Yeah, because you're seeing more and realizing more. You're getting clearer. You're more present. You're more kind, more compassionate. And that is, all of that is extremely enjoyable.
Yes.
Yeah. So is there more for you? Absolutely. Are you going to enjoy it more? Certainly. Are you going to get happier? Without a doubt.
Okay,
right.
I'm looking forward
all
to
right.
that. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Jill. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jill. It's so true. Sherry, that that there is a point in practice where everything becomes, we were looking at it over the practice weekend from a poem from Dogen. You know, two-thirds of your life has gone by and you have not stopped to polish the source of your sacredness or to touch the source of your sacredness. And that's what every opportunity that we have to practice with is letting go of that which prevents me from being in touch with the sacred.
Yes. Yeah.
And to cultivate that mind that we were also talking about, that we don't get to choose this is sacred and this is not sacred, because in being in that process of choice, we are in the process of that which divides. And what we're letting go of is the mind that divides, so that everything is sacred.
Yes.
That this is okay, yeah, and this is not okay is what we're letting go of as a process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
This is my gift for awakening. This is my gift for awakening. The divine is just handing this. Just here's another gift for you. Here's another gift for you. Find the sacred here. Choose to be with the sacred in this place.
Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
How is this? How divine is this?
How divine is this? Yeah.
Which brings us beautifully to our assignment for the day.
Oh, goody.
It's one of my favorites. I see nobody on the road, said Alice. I only wish I had such eyes, the king remarked in a fretful tone. To be able to see nobody, and at that distance, too. Alice and the king perfectly demonstrate what it's like to live in conversation with ego in conditioned mind. There's a made-up world, no truth or substance to it, which is talked about as if it's real. In that full reality, people should know what will happen in the future, should make decisions now based on what they should know about then, should feel bad and be punished when they're wrong about what they should have known, should fear the present, regret the past, and seek advice and direction from a disembodied voice in the head that talks to, chides, and harangues them constantly. Today, practice using the clarity you've been blessed with to see this here now. Record and listen.
Well, hearing you read that, it really is true. Living with conditioned mind is living through the looking glass.
Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome. Well, here
thank
we go.
Thank you again, Sherry. And
thank you, Ashwini. Thank you, everybody. Go happy. Paddle happy.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.